March and Matt Douglas on AM 930 WEOL.
Minutes away from 4 o'clock. It's Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL, streaming online at WEOL.com and with the AM 930 WEOL mobile app. Counting you down to 6 o'clock tonight. That's when Tim Alcorn takes over with the Boys Basketball Coaches Preview Show from the Brew Kettle in Amherst. Tim will be out there at 6 o'clock tonight talking to all of the area high school boys basketball coaches as well. And that pretty much brings to an end our coaches' preview shows.
That's right, yeah.
That's it, right? Nobody else is left in the docket?
Yeah, there's no hockey preview show. I think that's the only sport we haven't hit, or women's gymnastics.
Not yet.
No.
Maybe somewhere down the line.
We'll see.
Well, it is Tuesday, just after 3:40, and it's time to bring in Lisa Roberson of the Chronicle-Telegram for our local beat with Lisa, brought to you by 9-Round Kickbox Fitness. Lisa, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing in this short week?
Oh, lovely, because it is a short week. Makes a really big difference. It's always interesting having Lisa in studio because, well, we get another interesting tale from Lisa every time that she's in here. And today we got to hear about the trials and tribulations of selling a car. I mean, but you did this very quickly.
It wasn't a trial or tribulation. I sold this car with so much ease.
Yeah. You said, what, 18 hours is all it took?
That's really
impressive. About 18 hours. It was a 1998 Honda Accord. I put it on Facebook, and someone bought it and transferred title. We were done.
Nice.
Wow. If it was only always that easy. That's pretty impressive, though. That's a good start to a holiday week, though, for sure. And again, Lisa's appearances are brought to you by 9-Round 30-Minute Kickbox Fitness. Get a complete full-body workout at 9-Round on Center Road right next to Zeppi's Pizza in Avon. A busy week for you again, and I want to begin with this. I guess we'll throw this out to you. Could the third time possibly be the charm for these developers who twice before already tried to annex more than 30 acres of land into Elyria from Eaton Township?
I think so. The second time when they went around to the county commissioners, they submitted an expedited petition, and the requirements to pass that are so slim that, you know, the commissioners either have got passed or fell. So basically they told them that their application just wasn't, you know, clear enough. It was a technical thing. So once they cleared up the technicalities, I think they'll go ahead and pass this. There's a little opposition to it, so that's going to take it into account too.
So what's the opposition? Who's strongly against this and keeping this from moving forward?
Well, this is an Eaton Township trustee who believes that if you annex this property, it would make an island of property in the township. That legally you can't have an island. You can't have property in a township surrounded by everything that's in the city. So he says that you shouldn't be able to do this. And then they're looking at maps and they're saying it's not an island. It's all this kind of technical back and forth.
What's the next step in this process? How long will this take to go through?
County commissioners will probably put it on their agenda soon. The city of Elyria passed their portion of it, saying that they would approve the annexation, saying that they would welcome this land into the city. So now the county commissioners have to okay the land leaving Eaton Township and going to the city.
Okay, so it sounds like it's not too far away from being done, right?
I mean, right.
It's relatively soon. All right. Well, you covered a lot of different topics this past week, so I want to move on to another one that really got a lot of attention here last week. Elyria schools want their students to take their first international trip in a dozen years. So what are the details here, and what are the hurdles standing in their way from getting this done?
Well, we can thank the city of North Ridgeville, the city schools, for making this kind of a story, because typically school field trips don't raise a blip on my radar. But with North Ridgeville Schools kind of canceling their eighth grade trip to Washington, D.C., and then a few days later, Elyria High School coming out saying, well, we actually want to take a trip to Costa Rica. So that would kind of raise some alarms for me. I thought, oh, this could be a cool little story. And so they want to look at taking about maybe a dozen kids to the Central American country. This is going to be a science and Spanish kind of co-funded core curriculum trip where they kind of like look at the language and look at the ecosystem. They would want to be there for like 10 or 12 days, so it could be a good trip for them.
Kind of an interesting look at it, taking the Spanish and the science aspect for it. So will it be the Spanish teacher and then one of the science teachers who kind of go along?
Spanish teacher or one of the science teachers. They both want to go.
And you said about 12 kids are sort of what they have in mind for it.
Yeah, they said they want to keep the ratio about five or six kids to one teacher to make it easier for them to kind of handle it and control it and keep everyone safe.
So then did they say sort of what the process would be? I mean, because I wouldn't think that necessarily just because you're in Spanish you'd be interested in the science aspect and vice versa.
Well, they brought it to the Board of Education because they want the board to approve this trip. Yeah. So far, the board hasn't even approved the trip. This is an idea that they're tossing around for June of 2019.
Sure.
The board wants a little bit more information from them. They want to see what the safety plan would be for a trip of that nature. And, you know, they just want all of the – they want to tell you about how it would be fundraised because it's about $2,000 per kid. And schools typically don't pay for your field trips. You have mm-hmm. to pay for your own field trip. So with a district like Alera, they want to know how kids can afford that trip.
That was my next question, too. If the district's not going to pay for that, I mean, it's on each individual kid to pay for it. That's a lot. You said
car rushes and bake sales.
Yeah. That's $2,000 a kid, they're saying?
Yeah.
Holy cow. Okay, so it's going to take some time for this to go through. So you said the trip itself would be June of 2019. So we're talking 18 months away, roughly?
Yes.
Okay, so we've still got plenty of time before this would potentially go through. All right. Well, we'll certainly keep an eye on that. Want to revisit something that we talked about briefly last week here, and that was about the trash rates that are going up. Sounds like they are going to go up in 2018. Although this decision wasn't necessarily unanimous, who was against this and why were they against it?
I'm not surprised it wasn't unanimous because we have been discussing that in city council meetings for probably the last 6 months. Council continuously asked for more information and more reasoning from the city of why they wanted to raise the rates before they voted on it. So they finally had a final vote on Monday, and Councilman Marcus Madison and Mark Craig both voted against it, saying that the rates were unnecessary at this time.
Hmm. Any reason why they thought it was unnecessary at this time? Those are the only two that opposed it, correct?
Yes. It's about $1 a month. It's, for the next 3 years. And so they said that, you know, the city hasn't looked at ways to be more efficient in the department and streamline the operations before they want to pass it on right to the residents.
You say why a couple people are against it. Why were people for it? I mean, what was the reasoning for wanting to do something like this?
It would keep the city argued that it would keep the fund salvaged, it would keep everything in the black and allow the trash services to run smoothly. Alera is one of very, very few communities in Lorain County that does its own trash collection. Most people contract out, and so the fact that the city still has their own city workers and they hire their own, employees to do this is something unique with Alera.
Certainly. And then from my understanding, it's about, you mentioned, $1 a month. So next year it's 26 something, and then
yes.
27 and 28 as the years go forward.
Yes.
Why not just put one hard, I'm just curious on that one, why not just make it 27.80 or something for the next 3 years?
I think they want to ease in the increases to kind of lessen it for residents by saying just $1 a month is, you know, you're less likely to feel an extra $1 a month, but you may notice if your bill jumps up $3 in 1 month.
And then after those 3 years, is it revisited?
Yes, and then they were revisited again.
Yeah, when you do your own trash, so I think there are certainly some benefits to that, but obviously there are a lot of things you can't sidestep also. Some environmental things, I'm sure, certainly enter the equation. When you contract somebody else to do it, it's probably a little more convenient, but it's also going to cost a heck of a lot more, too. So I would imagine the cost compared to other cities that contract somebody else to come in and do it, they're a little bit lower by comparison. On to some other topics here as well. I mean, sounds like yesterday you guys were really busy at that city council meeting because yesterday it was also discussed unanimously to grant Lorain County Metro Parks an easement to build a bicycle trail, a Cascade Park. What are the details here?
Well, if you recall, the Lorain County Metro Parks now control Cascade Park, the daily operations, for the next 50 years under a contract they signed with the city. The city still owns the park, but Cascade does all of the work, and they are in charge of all of the capital improvements, and they have been working on this master plan to kind of update the park, and this bike trail would just be another addition to that.
Okay, very cool stuff. And you also touched on something today, Lisa, I wanted to hit on. It's gotten a lot of attention for all the obvious reasons because it's a positive, feel-good story. The Not Forgotten Box Drive, and that's something that really picks up this time of the year as we get closer to the holiday season, although I guess we're in the holiday season,
yeah,
right?
We're there.
Are we in? Are we out? I'm
welcome
not sure.
To the holiday.
We're in the holiday season.
I feel like we're on the fringe right now, but you know, you wrote a story on this yesterday. What were your biggest takeaways from that? Sounds like a lot of cool stuff.
The Not Forgotten Box is always my favorite time of the year because it's like this time where the Chronicle Telegram and the Salvation Army partner up with this huge community outreach to make sure every child has a happy holiday, and they make sure every child has a Christmas gift on Christmas. So if you live in Alera, you could have applied for this program through the Salvation Army to receive gifts for your children 13 and under. And the Chronicle Telegram would do all the work of kind of spearheading this toy drive and rallying people and getting them to give us toys. 8,000 toys that we're hoping to receive this year.
8,000 toys. Wow.
Right now, our lobby is kind of quiet, but come, you know, middle of December, that sucker will just be rolling with people in and out the door every moment of the day, dropping off toys, and it's just, it's a really good time.
Cool.
Yeah, very cool stuff. I would imagine this is kind of like the calm before the storm as far as that goes.
Yes.
So what happens at the Roberson household for Thanksgiving? How do you guys do it up?
We are very low-key for Thanksgiving. We have a very small family. It's just myself, my children, my mother, my sister. My mother cooks. We eat a meal. We hang out for a little while, and then we all go our separate ways.
Do you guys have a unique Thanksgiving dish? Because this is our question for the day that we'll extend into tomorrow. My family does. They'd like a sausage in the stuffing. That's really pretty much it. That's about as extensive as we get. Do you guys have maybe not a signature dish, but do you guys have something you feel like is maybe a little unusual for Thanksgiving?
No, I think my mother makes a pretty traditional meal: turkey dressing, and you know there'll be some probably greens or green beans and sweet potatoes.
Sure.
And
is there that one thing though that you have to have for it to be like a real Thanksgiving meal? Or
I like my mom's cornbread dressing. So.
Cornbread dressing?
Cornbread dressing.
Wow. All right. We don't want to give away your mom's deepest, darkest secrets here at recipes, but I'm interested to hear about cornbread dressing.
That's a Southern thing. My mom's from Georgia, so if you go to Georgia, you're not getting stuffing. You're getting dressing.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Okay. So it's essentially dressing then, right? But made with cornbread?
Made with cornbread.
Okay. So I'm thinking gravy or something. Top of cornbread?
No. No. She's probably made several batches of cornbread and dried it out. So it's, just like dried bread, like everyone else. And
I feel I could get behind. I'm not a big stuffing fan. I don't like stuffing, but that sounds good to me.
See, I feel like there are so many different ways you can do stuffing. That's going to be a very popular response, I feel, as well. Because people do up stuffing so differently. I mentioned, my family will put sausage in theirs. This whole cornbread dressing thing is very, very fascinating to me. So I feel like we'll get some different variations. Before we cut you loose, Lisa, what kinds of things are you working on for next week that you can share with us?
I am not working on anything right now at the moment. So anyone who can want to drop me a tip can do so at Lisa Roberson CT. Bruce Walden, who's our newest reporter, he's working on a story about the uptick of the Puerto Rican residents going to Lorain because of their hurricane they had, and they're now having some issues where a lot of family members are coming up north. So I'm interested to read that story.
Very cool. We'll be on the lookout for that in the next couple of days here. Lisa, always a pleasure to have you in studio, and happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you so much. Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. And absolutely, every Tuesday we will have Lisa Roberson in studio with us here on our local beat with Lisa. It's brought to you by 9-Round 30-Minute Kickbox Fitness. Get a complete full-body workout at 9-Round on Center Road next to Zeppi's Pizza in Avon. Hey, with Thanksgiving coming up, you're going to need reasons to get to 9-Round 30-Minute Kickbox Fitness. We need to take a break. We'll come back here in just a few. It's Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL.
Enjoy comfort food with a Southern influence. Visit Green Square Restaurant at Dragon Ranch. Shrimp and grits, ribeye steak, fried chicken, and beignets. You'll love Green Square Restaurant's scratch-made comfort food and artfully crafted cocktails inspired by Savannah's rich history and classic low country charm. Relax and unwind alongside Southern dishes and those with whom you enjoy dining the most. Green Square Restaurant at Dragon Ranch, 9488 Levitt Road, Elyria. Open this evening and every night from 4 until 10.
I just saved hundreds of